Getting Fit with Gabe and Joe.
I'm Joe.
I'm Gabe.
Hey, Gabe.
Episode 22, right?
Episode 22, October 30th.
It's funny, we always start the same way, you know, just reminding ourselves what date it is, who we are, what our names are.
We're getting older.
We're getting fit, we're getting older. So Joe, it's been a little while since we checked in.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah, man.
How are you doing with your fitness?
On and off. I went through a little spurt of being really into it. When Mark Ferber and I were doing the kind of the convict conditioning, all like body weight workouts, we were doing that 2 or 3 times a week while he was out, and then he left town, and I've just been kind of maintaining, doing some pull-ups every time I pass my pull-up bar in my place, and some push-ups here and there. But we had a really good workout today.
Yeah, it's true. We did sprints around the Rose Bowl. We did about 7 or 8, probably.
Yeah, we did some jogging too. And then we did like a little kind of CrossFit mini wad at the end.
Yeah, we did some push-ups into some squat kind of thing, like 5 sets of 10 each, 10 reps. But, well, that's cool. I mean...
How about you?
I think when we last spoke, it was right after Fit Facts. Yep. After our, you know, that's actually our third time at Fit Facts. I thought it was our second, but that was actually our third. Yeah. I know. Yeah. But I mislabeled that. But anyway, I thought I was going to really focus on getting shredded this past month, but it did not happen. I had 2 weddings, a lot of traveling, and if anything, I probably gained a little bit of weight. But
traveling makes it hard.
Yeah. I still feel pretty good, and I've been doing stuff. I did the Spartacus workout like maybe 5 or 6 times, and I did some other heavy weights in between, and then done a lot of surfing, which we can talk about later.
Oh yeah, that'll be another segment. What about the dieting?
It's been pretty good overall. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I had some cheats with some beers, and I had a pizza at one point.
Whoa.
But overall pretty solid. I mean, yeah, and actually
85-15?
Yeah, at least. And my uncle said to me, "So you're still doing that paleo thing?"
Uh-huh.
And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "That's, you must be one of the longest standing people doing that fad diet."
Ah.
And I was like, "Well, you know."
Who's your uncle?
My uncle. I don't want to name names.
Oh, okay.
But my mother's brother.
Okay.
And
fad.
Yeah.
It's like about 200,000 years old.
Right. But you know, I just let it go. It's like you don't want to get into. I don't want to get into any debates about anything. Mm-hmm. So. I say, you know, check out the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But
there you go.
Yeah. But how about you? Any interesting interactions in the past month around diet or exercise?
Well, not interesting, no. But yeah, I've been doing okay. Haven't really been falling off the wagon gluten-wise, but just maybe kind of over-consuming some kind of more junkier foods, like ice cream.
Is there a particular kind or flavor?
Whichever kind my girlfriend has in her freezer when I go over there.
Mm.
And then if she comes over here, we get some, too.
Mm.
Also, you know, if we go to La Cabanita, the local Mexican restaurant, we will have a margarita or two.
Yeah, I find actually I've been eating more corn. I've definitely had more corn chips and corn tortillas.
It's easy to do.
I know. When I first started, though, I was off corn completely. Mm. And then I sort of snuck it back in every now and then, and now it's in. And
it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, it should be out, because it's easy to do with that with corn tortilla and then rice and then beans, and then you're basically eating the whole enchilada, as they say.
Literally and figuratively.
Right.
Yeah, I know, man.
It's tough with the Mexican stuff, I find.
Yeah.
But I do like freaking them out sometimes. If you go up to them, like, you're like, "Let me get a burrito, but, no tortilla, and no rice and beans." And they're like, "So what?" And
so you just want a plate of meat.
Yeah. It really freaks them out. And a lot of times, I mean, not to racially stereotype, but some of them, the Mexican workers in the burrito stands, can be a little overweight.
The burrito stands?
I'm thinking of Siete Mares on Sunset.
Okay.
And the girl's name is Maria. No, I'm just kidding. It's funny. Kidding.
Wait, is a burrito stand differentiated from a taco truck, or is it the same thing?
No, that's different.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. How?
A burrito stand, okay, for instance, on Echo Park Ave, at the bottom of Echo Park Ave, right across from the laundromat, there's a burrito stand.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Dos Burritos.
Uh-huh.
And then I think that, there's a taco truck, you know, around the corner.
My Spanish isn't, you know, really good, but it's according to...
Two burritos.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little wary of eating at Siete Mares, because that means seven horses.
Oh.
No, I think Mar is C.
Seven C's.
But I think of mares.
Yeah.
So, Joe, what are we going to accomplish in this podcast?
Well, you're going to regale us with a recent triumph.
Yep.
Athletically.
Yeah.
We might talk about some of the research that I uncovered regarding bourbon whiskey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's cover that next.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Okay. Awesome.
And we're back.
We are back.
After some tasty jams.
Tasty gems. Or did you say jams?
Jams.
Jams. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I assume you're going to fly some music in between these segments.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Joe, what are we looking at here?
We're looking at a thing from Mark's Daily Apple. Great website, everybody. www.marksdailyapple. It's a website run by Mark Sisson.
.com,
yeah. And it's full of free articles, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, his 30-day workbook on shaping up, by the way, is a really good one. I once got that for my dad, who didn't use it, but still a really nice addition.
Yep. He has a thing here on a guide to healthy drinking.
Okay.
And
that's probably my number one vice.
Yeah. Well, he kind of ranks them from best to worst. And at the top, he says red wine.
Red wine's the best.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because, antioxidant content is really high with red wine. Also, it's got that resveratrol. It's a super antioxidant. Supposedly fights cancer, reduces signs of aging, etc. After that, that's top shelf. Then he says, respecting middling choices, wood-aged spirits, particularly whiskey. And then he links to a study that talks about whiskey.
But wait, red wine's top, and then whiskey is the second?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I don't understand. I mean, I drink a fair amount of whiskey, but I would think that it's because of, it's wheat. I thought it was wheat-based.
So well, it's distilled. It's distilled, so, there's no gluten in it. Now, rye is different, because rye is mash. They pour the mash back in for flavor, and so there's gluten in rye.
Mm. So but bourbon is better. Is fine. For,
yeah.
Okay.
And there's some bourbons that might be a little not so great, but there's, you know, if you look at celiac websites online, like those are the real deal, because those people, if they have gluten, they have major problems, you know. Mm. So if you look at celiac websites, some of the websites, they'll say these whiskeys are safe. And the four whiskeys that I'm talking about
Yeah,
we had the taste test.
Okay.
The Bullet Bourbon, Maker's Mark, Woodford Reserve, and Knob Creek. Those are all gluten free. Mm.
Cool. Well, that's. I mean, that gives a lot of variety right there.
Yeah. Antioxidant content (TAC) values of distilled spirits, whiskey. They were lower than those of wines. He said with the exception of whiskey. Which whiskey outranks some white and rosé wines. And he says this higher antioxidant capacity of whiskey with respect to other distilled spirits could be due to its higher content of phenols and furans, which are these kind of plant-based antioxidants. And the theory is that you get that from the oak cask, from being aged in a wooden cask like that. So there you go. Whiskey, everybody. Bourbon, specifically.
Well, what's number three?
You mean after...
Yeah, vodka?
Probably. I'm going to think so. Hang on, I'm going back to that. Whiskey. Well, it says here, whiskey contains free radical fighters, contains more of this one specific one even than red wine. Research has been less clear about the health benefits of other wood-aged spirits, including dark rum and 100% agave tequila. Hmm. Although agave itself has been linked with cancer-fighting properties, it's disputed whether these properties are fully present or potent in the tequila form. Furthermore, one small study found that a daily serving of tequila during a 30-day period decreased insulin sensitivity. That's not a good thing. His number three choice after that is a Berry Daiquiri Primal style.
Hmm. Is that vodka infused? I would think that vodka would be number three. And then I would think that rice products would be number four, like rice wine and rice beer.
White wines are number four.
Okay, then I'd put the rice stuff at five. Was that
right? Light beers.
Huh. What do they say there?
Beer, like wine, offers polyphenol power. According to research, beer seems to hold its own with white wine in terms of antioxidant activity. As for carb content, light beers vary generally between 3 to 6 grams. Although a few, like Michelob, are more than 11 and contain around 90 to 11 calories. Bottom shelf, bottom of the
barrel. Wait, I thought that there was... What about the wheat content of something like Corona?
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing that I'm a little scratching my head over.
No, I mean, if Mark Sisson's giving me the go-ahead on...
Light beer?
Yeah.
Going for it?
Yeah. Big time. I mean, I'll take a Corona to the bank.
Okay, so
I will drink at the bank with Corona.
I don't know if that's legal or financially sound
strategy. I hate white wine. Honestly, I'm not even a white wine fan.
Well, okay, so for our listeners, let's lay it out. You got red wine at the top. You got whiskey after that. You got this Berry Daiquiri.
No which one's is, having a Berry Daiquiri at $7,000.
Well, and also he's saying skip the sugar and syrup on that. It's no just add that. Crushed ice to the pureed berries and liquor.
Not interested. Okay.
After that, white wine.
Yep, pass.
Light beers after that.
That's like number five. I'll take it.
And then he says, bottom shelf to bottom of the barrel, other spirits, vodka, gin, clear rum.
Hmm. Puzzling.
As mentioned, unflavored spirits don't come with carbs. The alcohol content itself can boost vascular health. Nonetheless, these varieties don't offer much in the way of antioxidant benefit either. After that, hard cider. A lot of carbs in hard cider.
A lot of sugar. Though. I would skip hard cider. Yeah.
After that, regular beer.
That's the bottom of the barrel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
After that, creamy, dark, stout, or rich micro
beer. Those I happen to love. A chocolate porter is like one of my favorite beers. But there you go.
It's 15 to 25 grams of carbs. And then after that, she calls it sugar swill. He says,
you know what we did?
Jello shots, mudslides, fuzzy navels.
You know what we did at my buddy's wedding? We did Irish car bombs, which is you take a shot, a half a
Jameson?
Thing. Jameson? No, a shot of Jameson into...
Guinness.
Yeah, half a glass of Guinness, and then chug the whole thing.
Yeah, right.
Delicious.
Yeah.
It actually tastes like candy. I mean, it's, you know, it's great. You could have, like, three of those. I mean, that's like ice cream for me.
Okay.
But we only had one, yeah.
Guinness.
It's delicious. I mean...
No,
I mean, this is a major cheat. This was, like, started me off on my downward spiral.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for that. It's a slippery slope.
It is a slippery slope, and I feel great to be back on... And it's great to be here today.
Yeah. We were talking, I was talking to our mutual friend Ryan Doyle today, and he was mentioning that how it's definitely noticeable when he goes off the wagon with gluten, he notices that there is an increased flatulence factor.
I don't know if you'd want our listeners to have that shared.
Well, it's amazing, though, but because that's a part of a guy's life that, you know, when she kind of adopted this, it's so much easier on your digestion. That kind of disappears.
No, it's true.
Guys listening, it helps with the dating. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that's true. But also, you know, I was at home. I was at my parents' place back in Boston for my brother's East Coast wedding kind of celebration.
Right.
And my mom kept leaving out bagels all over the place and kept pushing cakes. And, like, I didn't have very much of that stuff. I maybe had a bagel, but I remember texting you. I was like, I'm starting to cave, you know? Mm-hmm. And you were like, stay strong. Think of your poor beehole.
That's right.
I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely easier on your digestive system, I find. Yeah. I think once you adjust to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
So.
Well, hey, dude, you want to leave it here and then come back, for number three. Come back strong with your, your
surf stories.
Exploits.
Okay.
We're back.
We are back. Segment 3, episode 22, I think.
Yeah, man.
Dosey dose.
Yeah. 22.
So this past weekend I competed in the Haunted Heats surf competition.
The
Haunted Heats. Via Z&J Boarding House in Santa Monica. I'd wanted to do their competition last month, which was, it's called Less Than Three, using less than three fins.
Okay.
But it was held on Yom Kippur.
I remember you talked a little bit about this.
Yeah, that was on Yom Kippur, so okay. I had to skip that. So this one I was like all about, and then I noticed in the small print it said you have to surf in costume. And so
what was your costume?
So I went as Poseidon, Lord of the Sea, and I was this close, very close, for those who can't see my fingers, to dressing as a surfing Rasta.
Mm.
But I didn't want to deal with the dreads, so I went as Poseidon, which was kind of like a tunic kind of thing, cinched by a belt with a turquoise towel. And
you had some kind of sea crown.
Yeah, I had a crown. I was very proud of the price of the costume, which
was
about
$10. You have a bunch of Mardi Gras beads
on,
too?
Yeah, I got
all
that stuff from 99 cent store, from a 99 cent store. And I've been growing this beard for the costume, so now that it's over, I guess I'm hanging on to it.
Yeah, you hang on to it for Movember.
Yeah, we'll see. I want to see how big this thing gets.
Take it to epic proportions, man.
How soon I look rabbinical.
Yeah.
How'd
you do?
So I did really well. You know, I think it helped that I was judged half by costume and acting performance and then half by surfability. But I felt good about, first of all, following through with, like, you know, I had no one did it with me. I didn't know anyone there.
Mm-hmm.
And to get up in front of, like, 100 people and, you know, prance around. I did, like, a 300 speech. I was like, you know, Greeks, we gather here today on the beach to pay homage to the sea. And then there's a video of me that was published where I go, to the sea. And then they have shots of me surfing.
Wow.
And it was cool. I mean,
Is
got
this
up,
online? Could our listeners find
that? You know what? I posted it on the blog.
Okay.
So it's on...
Everybody look at gettingfitwithgabeandjoe.com.
.com if you're interested. Yeah. So it was really cool. It was just cool to just be able to, like, get up and surf, you know, on demand.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no problem. Some people did. I mean, it was sort of small surf. But, you know, it was cool. And you get points for acting out your character on the surfboard. So Bob Ross was painting. He had, like, an easel on his board. The Ultimate Warrior was doing flips off his board, and he had like a ring set up.
Wow.
But so I did like a little thing, like a little pose, and then I actually tried to do a handstand while surfing.
A handstand?
And I was close.
Really?
I almost had it, yeah. I mean, I really almost had it. The
How
crown
big is
stayed
your
board? On, by the way. 7'11".
Okay.
It's like a nice small
board.
Logboard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I like this board a lot.
Huh.
I sold my 9'6".
How many fins?
That has three.
Thruster.
Yeah.
Alright. Now...
So, it was cool.
Really cool. Let me ask you this. Did you feel like your fitness was a factor in how well you did?
Yeah. That's what I was saying that earlier. You know, a lot of people got winded. I'd get off the board off a ride, I'd turn right around, go back in. I mean, I had no problem paddling out. I wasn't even wearing a wetsuit. And, I was fine.
You were in the, a certain age category,
right? Yeah, I was in over 35, and I just felt like I was, you know, on par with the younger crowd, with the late 20s at least.
Yeah.
But there were some good surfers. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, some of the kids were really good, actually. Mm-hmm. It was cool.
Were the kids riding their little tiny... Did the board size, was that prescribed?
No.
Okay.
You could, you know, do whatever you want.
All right.
And you could use your own board. But yeah, so it was cool, and I definitely thought I would like to compete again in something, in another contest. I like these kind of fitness events. They're sort of fun.
So there you go, folks at home. There's a perfect example of this type of attention to diet and exercise, enabling you to have a lot of fun in life.
Yeah, it's true. You know? I mean, that was exactly, I felt like, what the point mm-hmm. of it is. And that's one thing that's been really cool about surfing for me, is that I've been able to apply, especially a lot of the stuff that we did with the Cosgrove core
thing. Right, you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel it helped my balance and mm-hmm. helped my endurance. And that stuff's, if I keep it up, that stuff will be with me for life.
So, yeah. Same here. Hoorah. So, everybody, jump on board, man. Join us next time.
Yeah. And then beyond that, I just got this book out of the library called The Surfer's Code by Sean Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Who's a South African surfer who, I guess, lives in Santa Barbara. And he runs an apparel company. But anyway, so then I wrote about it yesterday. And while I was online, I went just to see if there was a review of it. And it came up that this guy was actually going to be speaking last night at a bookstore. So I went down and heard him speak.
Which bookstore?
It was down in Del Mar, actually.
That's a ways.
Yeah, it was at a boarding... Sorry, it was at a board house, or at like a board shop.
Uh-huh.
And he gave a presentation about the book, and yeah, shook his hand, he signed my book, and not the one from the library, I bought another one.
Uh-huh.
But,
well, the value of that book in the library just went way up.
He signed my library card, but it was cool. It was cool, so... Made me want to go to Hawaii and check out that whole thing.
Ah. Never been to Hawaii myself.
Have you ever seen any of those breaks?
Oh, yeah.
Like Waimea Bay or Pipeline, yeah. Sunset Beach?
Yep.
It's all the North Shore.
North Shore of Oahu, yeah.
Now, Oahu's an island, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I don't even know Hawaiian geography,
Yeah.
But I would like to go.
Yeah, me too.
It's warm there.
Although those breaks, those three that you mentioned, those scare me.
Those are killers, yeah. Yeah,
those are for, real guys.
Yeah, I mean...
I guess they drag people out like at least one or two a year from the bottom of really? Pipeline, right? Yeah, because it's like it's...
Well, there's Pipeline a coral has reef. Coral reefs. Yeah. That's what makes it tube like that.
Yeah.
But how cool would that be to ride in one of those tubes?
Yeah, man.
Supposedly, he describes it, and supposedly the sound, like, you can't hear anything, and, like, things move in slow motion.
Yeah, there's videos, right? Have you been? Check those videos out. People inside the curl?
No. But maybe I will.
Yeah.
So, cool. That's been exciting for me. It's been cool.
Yeah, man.
So, you gotta jump on board. Literally. Yeah, oh. Join me.
All right. I'm down, man.
We should do the stand-up paddleboarding thing.
Let's do that sometime soon. All right, so for the future,
what are the goals? Yeah, I think that we should find maybe a men's health fitness poster, mm-hmm. one of those 4-week things, and jump on it.
Yeah, dude, like maybe this one right here.
4-week fat shredder. I saw this one. It looked hard. I mean, not that that's bad, but it looked like weird exercise. I don't like weird exercises that look odd to do. That's like
the Alan Cosgrove core.
Like the mud run push-up crawl, I don't want to do that in public. Or this, the modified handstand shoulder tap.
That looks pretty awesome.
I don't want to do that in public. Yeah, push presses are pretty good.
Thanks.
This guy looks like he's using pretty heavy weights doing this stuff. BJ Gador is the guy who
came up with it.
Oh, from Delta Fit.
Huh.
Yeah, well, maybe not this one, but one of them.
Okay, you heard it here first, folks. Maybe not this one, but one of them.
And you can hold me that. Hold me to that. Well, no, we got to find something for November.
Okay, we're both going to be growing beards, first of all.
This thing is already growing.
Oh, yeah. You got a head start.
I heard that Movember's all about you start from scratch. If you want to be for real.
That's me then.
I know, but not me. I might have to shave and start over.
I still got a couple days.
This is about a month right here.
Yeah, but...
What else you got in ways of posters?
I got all these up here.
Alright, guys. We'll see you next time.
Getting fit with Gabe and Joe.